Okay, we're beginning here in the middle of Yud-Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara here is discussing the machloket between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. At first, the Gemara thought that their machloket was whether the Nizirut took effect in this situation in which the individual is in the Beit HaKvarot taking the Neder Nizirut. The Gemara, because of the number of questions that arose, then changed the machloket, and now we have Mar Bar Rav Ashi's approach to the machloket, which is, everybody agrees that it's chal, but their argument is whether you get malkot or not. Rabbi Yochanan says, if it goes into effect, you also get malkot. Whereas Reish Lakish says, lo laki v'chaylo, that even though it's in effect, there are no malkot for this. According to the majority of the Rishonim, that means that, according to both of them, you get malkot for tiglachat, and for shtiyat yayin, or for anything to do with the grape products. On the other hand, for tumah, that's where their malkot is. Rabbi Yochanan believes you do get malkot for tumah, that is, whether they warned you before you took the neder nizirut, whether while you were in this process of becoming tahor, you become tameh again, then Rabbi Yochanan believes you get malkot, whereas Reish Lakish says you can't get malkot until you go into a nizirut, bitara, and then you can get malkot for your tumah. We saw that the Mifarish seems to be saying that Reish Lakish believes you don't get malkot on any of these items, that it's just a chalut and neder without any malkot, versus Rabbi Yochanan says you get malkot. There are other opinions who suggest that the malkot here are midr abanan, at least according to Reish Lakish. So then we had Rabbi Yochanan questioning Reish Lakish from our Mishnah, and the Gemara gave an answer as to why that's not the case, or the diuk out of the Mishnah is not right. Then Tashma now, we ask another question from the Tosefta, a braita that we brought before, and the Gemara uses that again to question this position of Reish Lakish. Tashma, ein bein tamei shenazar lenazir tahor shenitma. There's no difference between someone who is tamei, or in the Beit HaKvarot and takes a neder nizirut, versus someone who is already a nazir tahor, has begun their nizirut and then becomes tamei. Ela shenitma shenazar shvi shelo ole lo min haminyan. But for the fact that a person who is already tamei when they start their nizirut, then on the seventh day, they go into effect with their nizirut because they require tahara. Tahara, ayidei hapara aduma, is hazat shlishi b'shvi'i, mikveh on the seventh day, sun sets on the seventh day, you are tahor. As we mentioned yesterday, and Tosfot points out that he's a tvol yom at that point, he still is tamei, but Tosfot suggests that that's tuma klisha, and therefore, the neder and zirut can take place or take effect. A mitzvah tayom kekulo, at the end of the day, on the seventh day, it already goes into effect. On the other hand, nazir tor shnitma, ein shvi shelo ole lo min haminyan. The seventh day can't count towards him because, in that instance, he has to bring korbanot on the eighth day. He's not only required to be mitaher himself, as well as shave his head for the nizirut tum'ah, but he has to bring korbanot on the eighth day, the korbanot of a nazir tameh. That means that he's still tameh until the eighth day, and only after he brings the korbanot on the eighth day can then his nazirut go into effect. So there's one day difference between them, because the nazir who starts his nazirut bitumah does not bring a korban, therefore all he needs is tahara, he doesn't have this eighth day issue, whereas a nazir who's tahor and then becomes tamei, he has to bring korbanot, and therefore only on the eighth day does it begin for him. Hal malkot zeh b'zeh shavin. When it comes to malkot, they're both equal, meaning that we would assume here that they both get malkot in this case for tumah. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that means even in his process of tahara, if he becomes tamei, or if they warned him before he took the ned in nizirut, he would get malkot. So they both get malkot. So Malay, Reish Lakish responds to Rabbi Yochanan, no, letiglachat ze vizeh shavim. They are equal with regards to tiglachat. Aval inyan malkot, mai. But with regards to malkot, what's the din? Ze lokeh, vizeh no lokeh. This one gets malkot, and that one does not get malkot. So the Gemara will ask a question on that in a second. With regards to tiglachat, that they are similar or equal with regards to tiglachat, is not so clear what that means. According to the Mifaresh, Shnehem migalchim b'yom shvi'i shelahem. They both cut their hair on the seventh day. Now, that's interesting because a Nazir Tahor who became Tamei, as part of Nazirut the Tumah, he has to cut his hair. That's fine, that's straightforward. But a Nazir Tamei who started out Tamei and then took his Neder Nazirut, he has no requirement of Tiglachat. Yet, the Mefarash over here suggests that on the seventh day, he has to cut his hair, even though he has no requirement as a Nazir B'Tum'ah. Nevertheless, the process of being B'Tahir him also involves a cutting of his hair. So here, this Nazir who's Tamei up front, who has it? So the Mefarash suggests that he has to have a shaving of his head. It's very interesting because the Mefarash earlier on said, why does Rabbi Elazar's Shita that you have to wait 7 days? After you became Tamei at the end of your Nazirut or after Yom Malot, why do you have to wait 7 days? So the Mefarash brought two reasons. One reason was because it takes 7 days to become Tahor. So you have to wait to become Tahor in order to bring your Korbanot B'Tahara. The second reason he brought was that because in that period of time of 7 days, your hair grows long enough that the Rosho can touch Ikaro, meaning that it's considered to be growth, midoraita, that if you cut it off, there's something to cut off. But the question is, why did he need those 7 days to grow out his hair? What happened to his hair? But over here you see that the Mefarash believes that when someone comes to me, even if they're not a Nazir B'Tumah, on the seventh day of Tara, he thinks that you have to cut your hair. And that might be why the Mefarash said that earlier, as well as his explanation over here as to what that means, that the Tekalachat Zeh B'Zeh Shavin. Now, another possible interpretation, and this is the Balei HaTosafot bring over here, is Yesh Marfashim Deloki Atiglachat. Both of them get Malkot for cutting their hair, which is, according to the Balei HaTosafot, that's true. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish both believe that with regards to Tiglachat, they are both Asurim, and they both get Malkot for that. The Tosafot says, V'lo Nihira. Says, that can't be the right answer. Delema L'Tiglachat V'Yayin Zeh V'Zeh Shavin. Because if that's the case, then Yayin and Tiglachat should be in the same boat. And then why does the Gemara only mention Tiglachat that they're equal for, and not Yayin that they're equal for? Because Yayin also gets Malkot, according to both of them, for both instances. V'chein nirali, ha'le Tiglachat perush l'mitzvot Tiglachat. L'inyan sh'migaleach b'shvi'i l'tarato. Again, that perush that you get, it is a mitzvah of Tiglachat, that they are migaleach on the seventh day of his tara. So again, similar to what the Mefarash says over here, that the seventh day of Tara requires some sort of Tiglachat. Even though later on, the Gemara is going to reject that and say that there is no such thing as a Tiglachat on the seventh day. Nevertheless, Tosafot says over here, the Gemara is not really worried about what's going to happen in the end. This is the Havamina now that you do need such a Tiglachat. The Rosh, on the other hand here, says that it could be talking about Tiglachat. And he just says, the Gemara mentioned Tiglachat. Tiglachat, okay, yes, it mentioned Tiglachat, and the same as the Yayin. It's giving you an example of where they're equal in that case, and the same would be true by Yayin. Those are the three different approaches that you see here to Tiglachat Zeh B'Zeh Shavin. So now the Gemara says, well, but you're telling me now that there is a difference between them, which is that with regards to a Nazir who became Tamei, there are Malkot for becoming Tamei, versus Ze'en Olukeh, by the case of the one who was Nitma up front, and then took his Neder Nazirut, that he's not Lokeh, that's a significant difference. Litnaya, why doesn't the Braita mention that difference? My answer is, Bitakante, Kamari, Bikukule, Lo Kamari. The Braita is only dealing with issues that are constructive, not issues that are problematic. The way that the Mefarash explains it over here, he says, "Bitakante kamari, eimatay matchlim limot ze mishvii v'ze mishmini." They are talking about when does the nizirut start. It's talking about when does he become engaged in his nizirut b'tahara. That's what it means. Bitakante. Takante means when do you start your nizirut b'tahara, and that's all the Braita is dealing with. It's not dealing with whether you get malkot, don't get malkot. That's not the issue of the Braita. That's one. Mefarash points out that there are other differences between these two individuals, and how come the Gemara doesn't ask that? The Gemara later on will give an answer, which he now brings forward and says over here, which is that when it says Shvi Shalo versus Shmini Shalo, that incorporates a lot of items, including the fact that you don't bring a Korban, other items that are differences between them. The Siman to that is one starts on the 7th, one starts on the 8th. That difference is a derivative or result of other factors as well. The fact you don't bring a Korban is why you start on the 7th, not the 8th. So other differences that are between them derive from that same issue of 7th and 8th. So being on the 7th day versus 8th day incorporates much more than simply when do you start your nizirut b'tahara, but also involves other process issues that are defined by the seventh and eighth day. Tosfot, on the other hand, says, what's b'takanta kamari? Matai yatchil minyan l'nizirut, v'hu nitma b'shogeg. B'kulkulalo kamari shemikalkel atzmo b'mezid. So Tosfot says, the bright is dealing with cases of shogeg, not cases of mezid. So it's dealing with, when do you start your nizirut? Because something happened b'shogeg. It's not dealing with someone who intentionally becomes tamei, and therefore what are the malkot, or what are the issues between them? Others simply say, which to me would be the easiest way to read this, is that betakante kamairi, we're dealing with things that are constructive, not with aveirot. We're not trying to deal with people who are doing the wrong thing versus people who are trying to do the right thing. The bright is trying to address someone who's in this predicament now trying to do the right thing. What are the protocols for this individual? Starts on the 7th, starts on the 8th. All of those are the differences. People who are going to sin and do the wrong thing and become tamei, that's not the issue of the breita. That's not the interest of the breita. Tashma, we move on to another question. Again, a tosefta that we quoted earlier. Mishaya tamei v'nazar. Person who was tamei and took a neder nizirut. Asur legaleach v'lishtot yayin. You cannot be migaleach, and you cannot be shote yayin. Over here, absent from this tosefta is the word litameh lemetim, which was found on the end of yesterday's daf. They quoted the same tosefta, and in that tosefta it says, it's asur legaleach lishtot yayin litameh lemetim. That's absent from it here. When they quote it here, it's interesting. But then, bim gileach vishate yayin vitnua lemetim harizesu feg et arbayim. Then here, it's pretty explicit. If you cut your hair, drink wine, or become tamei meitim, harizeh sofeg et arbaim. You get malkot for all of these things straight out. Tiyufta. This is a strong refutation of Reish Lakish's position. Now, the Gemara did have this tosefta before, and Reish Lakish was managed to answer it. He then, on the top of this amud, he said, hachomai eskinan, biyotzei v'nichnas. So that answer could be equally applicable over here. Why doesn't Reish Lakish just say, it's a case where he was yotzei, he had a Kabbalah, and now he's a full-fledged Nizirut, and now he returns to the Beta Kvarot. So the answer, according to most, is the equation that you have over here. The Balei HaTosafot say, the fact that the Tosefta equated Yayin, Tiglachat, and Tumah shows you that they should all have the same din. But Yayin and Tiglachat, we know that Malkot begin right away, even for Reish Lakish. And therefore, if you now equate Tiglachat, Ayayin and Tumah, that means the Tumah, the Malkot for Tumah, start right away, and you'd say V'nichnas is not going to help you anymore, because everybody agrees that Yayin and Tiglachat, or Malkot, start right away for Yayin and Tiglachat. Right, so that equation, Tosfot the Shitatam, that Yayin and Tiglachat, everybody agrees, is, gets Malkot. And it's only a question about Tumah, and now the equation of the Tosefta makes it impossible for Reish Lakish to have his opinion. The other end, the Mefarish, who we said, or seemingly says, that Reish Lakish believes that Yayin and Tiglachat also don't get Malkot. It's an argument about Malkot in general, then that answer is not going to work. Just because you equated the three of them, but Reish Lakish doesn't think Yayin and Tiglachat get Malkot either until you're Yotzei V'Nichnas. So here the Mefarish gives, Over Yotzei V'Nichnas lo matzi letar etzlei kidla'el, ta'ukimna de modi Reish Lakish techayilo. Says that it already took effect. V'koyilei b'isura, aval milko lo loki. There is an isur, but you don't get Malkot. The Braita here seems to create a correlation between the restriction and the Malkot, even though he didn't say it. It's not so clear how the Mefarish makes such a fine distinction. But because he does not have that equation that Tosfot has, which is, Reish Lakish believes that Tiglachat and Yayin get Malkot right away, then the equation to Tumah doesn't exist. Because over here, according to the Mefarish, Reish Lakish doesn't think you get Malkot right away for Yayin and Tiglachat. They're all acquitted, but that's the Isur. But what he says is the Tosefta brings a clear correlation between the Isur and the Malkot. And Reish Lakish separates between those two things. Originally, Reish Lakish believed the Isur and the Malkot came together. Therefore, you could discuss Yotzei V'Nichnas. But over here, the Tosefta makes it clear that Isur, Malkot are one and the same. Reish Lakish separates between those two, and therefore the answer of Yotzei V'Nichnas no longer will be supported by this Tosefta. All right, so that's the refutation of Reish Lakish's position. So Reish Lakish is rejected now. Now we move on, assuming that Rabbi Yochanan is correct, that you get Malkot right away. The Gemara asks this question. Vayirov Nazar v'hu bebeit ha-kvarot, mau. Again, the same scenario where he takes the neder and zirut and he's in the beit ha-kvarot, what's the din? Bayishia the malkot or lo? Does he have to tarry in order to be chayav malkot or not? Heichi dami. What exactly is the case over here? Now, the Gemara over here, and we'll see this in a second, is comparing this to Tumah b'Mikdash. Tumah b'Mikdash, if someone becomes Tamei in the Mikdash, then you're not allowed to be in the Mikdash when you are Tamei. But you became Tamei when you were already inside of the Mikdash. So now, what are your options? You automatically get Malkot because you're there? No. The answer is that you have to leave in the most expedient fashion possible. It means you have to go the shortest route out of the Mikdash and leave right away. If you tarry in the Mikdash, then you become culpable for being Tamei inside of the Mikdash. How much is a Shi'iyah? How much do you tarry in order to be? The amount of time that it would take you to bow down. Because that's the normal service, that's the normal thing that you would do in the Mikdash. And therefore, you tarry that amount in the Mikdash, you've done something wrong. You're Tamei, you need to leave right away. You don't leave right away, you're going to be Chayav. So the question here is the same thing with regards to this individual who took a neder nizirut in the Beit HaKvarot. If you warn him now to leave the Beit HaKvarot, does he have to then tarry in order to be chayav? And we give him a certain amount of time to leave. We give him a window of opportunity to leave. Or does he automatically now become chayav or culpable right away without any delay or without any tarrying? That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara wants to know, Echidami, what's the case? This assumes, like those Rishonim, that is Tamei, Tumat Ameit over here, that Rambam, again, believes that Tumat Beit HaKvarot is enough of a reason to not allow your Nizirut to start. And going to the Beit HaKvarot itself does not terminate your Nizirut or interrupt your Nizirut, because the Rambam believes that it's Ole Min HaMinyan. According to the Rambam's explanation of the Mishnah, this is a little harder to understand, but he will just explain that this case is a case where he's Tamei, Tumat Ameit, in that case. So now, what's the case? If they said him, don't take the neder nizirut, before he takes it, they say, why do you need to wait? What is their tearing? Nazir, my time, alo bayishia. Why is it that a nazir does not require any shia? Because they're warning him ahead of time. So over here also, they're warning him. So just like by a regular nizirut, if someone warns the individual from doing one of the items that's a violation of the nizirut, you're a chayav. So over here, if he warns him ahead of time not to take the nizirut in the Beit HaKvarot, that is sufficient grounds to make him culpable for it. Now Tosafot points out right away that you can't exactly equate these cases. Because by the case of a regular nazir, the warning is an anticipation of this person taking an action against his nizirut. And that's why it'll be chayav malkot. On the other hand, in our case over here, after he takes the neder nizirut, or even taking the neder nizirut, is an inaction. If that's the case, how can you be chayav malkot for inactivity? So Tosafot at the end writes, V'lai haike lav she'im bo maseh. This is not a lav she'im bo maseh, but mashiki mikabel nizirut. When he accepts upon himself the nizirut, the lav she'ish bo masehu. Because it is a lav that is deemed to have a maseh. By the fact that he remains in the Beit HaKvarot after he takes the neder nizirut, that's deemed to be as if it's a ma'aseh, an action, and that's why he can be chayav malkot. The Achronim over here argue about exactly what Tosafot means. Does Tosafot mean that the act of taking the neder nizirut itself is considered to be the action? Or is it because the Beit HaKvarot is an activity with his goof, and therefore is considered to be a lav sheyesh bo maaseh? Or Tosafot in Shvuot actually says that this Gemara is according to the one who says that you are chayav in makot b'lav she'im bo maaseh, like the opinion of Reb Yehuda. But you can see here that the Agod Ronchenberg sees a lot of difficulty and is unwilling to accept this suggestion of the Tosafot. Rather, he quotes the Magid Mishnah's approach to lavim that have an ability to manifest themselves through a maaseh and through inactivity or passivity. And the Magid Mishnah has a chiddush that any activity that could be done through a maaseh, even when you violate it through inactivity, it's still deemed to be a lav sheyesh bo maaseh and you're chayav malkot for it. And he says this Gemara is a proof to that position of the Magid Mishnah. because normally the violation of the nezirut takes place through a maaseh, but over here it happens to be an instance where it's through inactivity, but it's still deemed to be a lav shiyesh bo maaseh, and therefore the person gets malkot over here. Ella kagon, what is the example? Kagon shenichnas b'shida teva u'migdal. So here you have a case where he's in the Beit HaGvarot, but he's not Tameh. The Gemara already concluded that if he was warned ahead of time not to take the net in his root in the Beit HaGvarot, and he does it, Chayav Malkot, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who we are passing like. Number two is, if he's in the Beit HaGvarot, and he now takes the net in his root, he's Tameh, if you warn him, he'll get Malkot. That's it. Question now is slightly altered, which is a case where he's in the Beit HaKvarot, but he's not Tameh. That is because he's shielded from the Tumah, because he's inside of a Shida, Teva, Migdal. He's inside of an encapsulation that protects him from Tumah coming, because it's completely sealed, and it's big enough that it can act as an oil, it can act as a protective device for him. Uva chavero, upara me'alav maziva. So then his friend comes, and peels away the plaster that's sealing him in this box. Now, obviously, if he does it himself, then there's nothing to talk about, because he's then making himself Tameh. The question here is when someone else causes him to become Tameh in this instance. So he peels away the maziva. That could be different scenarios. Tosafot already points out, dafka bonus, the case where he's doing it, it's unintentional, he's somebody else is doing it. Dimiritsono, if it's him himself, inamim hu atzmo parak ki agavna lo ibayilon ibayishia, we don't need to know whether he has to wait there. Kamar da acha bayid the nazir tameo duma baones kagmire la shia lo shna b'chutz lo shna b'fnim. The Gemara in Shavuot who deals with this issue says that it's only that's not a question when he does it himself. There's no query as to whether he has to tarry or not tarry. The query is only when it happens bonus, when it happens accidentally, like the case in the Mikdash where he becomes tamei all of a sudden. And now he has to deal with that Tumah because he's inside the Mikdash. So to over here, it's a case where he is suddenly faced with this issue of Tumah. The Rosh over here says that the case cannot be lo matzah demeimer kon shenichnas beit hakvarot shugeg beitru bo letzeit, and then they were him to leave. Damrina bishvot ki gmire shihya beones kagmiri, that the only case or the only time that in the Mikdash there's this din of tearing, or the din of tearing, is when it happens completely accidentally out of the control of the individual. And that's why the Gemara here gives this specific example by Nazir. It's a case of onus versus a case of shogeg where he unintentionally entered into the Beit HaKvarot, unintentionally took a net nezirut in Beit HaKvarot. That's already deemed to be shogeg, and there's no question of shia, because there it doesn't parallel the din in Mikdash. There are other Rishonim who disagree with the Rosh and believe that a case of shogeg here would be equally applicable as a case of ones, and therefore the Gemara could have asked that question. It just gave the example of Shida Teva Migdal, but the person was already previously a Nazir and then came in that methodology, so it is a case of ones. So now, he went in there beheter, because however he was transported, he got in there, he didn't become Tameh, he's totally fine. Now all of a sudden, he's now faced with Tumah after the fact that he is a Nazir. Similar to what happens in the Mikdash. You're in the Makom HaMikdash that's Kadosh, and all of a sudden you become Tameh. What is this story over there? So now, removing the Maziva, again, the Baalei Tosafot says someone else is peeling it off. The way that the Mifarish explains it over here is that Parah Mizivashu Tachtav, Shaita Shida Mi'arosho. Shida is above him, and then they undo the Maziva that's under him, and therefore it exposes him at the bottom. Others suggest the Maziva is on the grave, and they peel away the maziva from the grave, so it's no longer an ohel, and therefore it's tuma bukat vola, and therefore it penetrates into the shade of teva migdal. So others suggest that they take the maziva off the top, but that ruins the shida teva migdal from being a contained unit, and ruins it from being a protective device, and that's why he now becomes tameh, or he's in an ohel amate. So now opening up the top brings the tuma into where he is. Whatever taken away the maziva is, he now is faced with Tumah. Ki gamrinan shia bebeit HaMikdash. The din of shia is halacha l'moshe misinai. And therefore, the only time that that is learned is by the Beit HaMikdash, where we have halacha l'moshe misinai, that if you tarry, kedei yishtach havayad, that's when you're chayav, if you came b'tamei b'tumah in the Mikdash, not intentionally. Aval evrai, when we're doing things outside of the Mikdash, lo, there's no din of shia. Odil maloshna, Or maybe that makes no difference. Shia is equally applicable in the Mikdash as it is b'chutz. Teiku, the Gemara leaves this as unresolved. There are many Rishonim who suggest over here that the Shia that we're talking about here is not the same Shia. With regards to the Mikdash, Kadesh Tachavaya is relevant time period. By Nazir, that's not a relevant time period. So over here, maybe the time period should be the amount of time it would take him to leave the Beit HaKvarot, or to exit the Beit HaKvarot. Some sort of time period would be reasonable that he then violates, and that's why he becomes Chayav. Here the Gemara leaves as a teiku, as to whether when he becomes Tamei B'tumat Ones, how fast does he have to remove himself from that situation? Is it immediate? And if he doesn't do it immediately, he's in trouble? Or does he have some sort of window of time, Shiyah, similar to the Mikdash, where you have a dispensation, or you're not going to be held accountable unless you cross over that threshold. By Rav Ashi, Nazar, Behu Bebeit HaKvarot, Ta'un Giluach, Olo. So this is the question that Tosfot said before, in the Havami of the Gemara, they say this, even though it's rejected in the end. The question of Rav Ashi is, that if you take this Neder Nezirut in the Beit HaKvarot, we know you don't bring a Korban. That our Mishnah already told us. We know, now according to Rabbi Yochanan, that you are immediately culpable for Tuma, Giluach, and Yayin. If you do any of those violations in Nezirut, you'll be Chayav, Malkot. The question that Rav Ashi is posing is, do you require Tiglachat HaTum'ah? The Torah says that when it comes to a Nazir Tameh, not only does he have to bring a Korban, he also has to shave his hair, all of his hair off, to restart his Nezirut, Bitara. This individual is not going to bring a Korban, but maybe still requires tiglachat. That is the question that Rav Ashi is posing. Kibai tiglachat. So this Gemara is, although, kibai tiglachat tohor shenitma. Maybe we could say over here, when you need tiglachat, is when someone who had a nizirut betara became tamei. Tika mitamei l'nizirute. Because he ruined his nizirut. So therefore you shave off the hair that was dedicated, quote unquote, in his first part of his nizirut. You remove that because he's got to start again. But Tamei Shenazar, lo, other than a Tamei who started that way and never had any dedication of his hair towards an Nizirut Betara, doesn't have to shave it off. Odim Aloshna, or maybe it makes no difference. Tashma, Mishenazar Bu Beit HaKvarot, a person, this is our Mishnah, who took an Ed Nizirut in the Beit HaKvarot, Afilo Yasham Shloshim Yom, Eina Ole Lo Min HaMinyan, doesn't count towards his Nizirut. Veinu Mevi Korban Tuma, our Mishnah says, you don't bring a Korban. So now that he's Medayek out of our Mishnah, Korban Tuma Udolo Maiti Ave Geluche Bai. The Mishnah says that you do not have to bring a Korban, but that implies that maybe you do have to do the Giluach. Matam Gamar. No, the Mishnah is giving you a reason, explanation. Matam Enomi Korban Tuma. Why does he not bring the Korban Tuma? Vishum Dolo Bai Giluche. He does not require any of the processes that normally apply to Nazir Bituma. So just like you don't shave your head, so too you don't bring your Korban Bituma. And that's what the Mishnah is saying. The Mishnah is basically saying, none of this applies to you. Because you never got your Nizirut underway, therefore none of this applies. None of this applies means not the Giluach, and not the Giluach means also not the Korban. They're all connected, they're interrelated. Now how do you know that the Korban is connected to the Tiglachat HaTuma? Tosfot over here says, the Haba HaTal Yehuda Psukim Krovim Zelazeh. The adjacency, the juxtaposition of Psukim teaches you that there is this sort of ikuv, that if you don't cut your hair, then there is no Korban Tuma. Others just to suggest that it is not a correlation of dependency, rather a correlation in the sense that for the same reason that one does not bring a Korban, they do not cut their hair because he's not deemed to be a Nazir Tameh. You are mufka from the processes of a Nazir Tameh, which is both cutting the hair and the bringing of the Korbanot. Tashma, ma'ein bein tamei shenazar l'nazir tohor shenitma ela tamei shenazar shvi shelo ole lo min haminyan. B'nazir tohor shenitma ein shvi shelo ole lo min haminyan. Again, the same brayta that we quoted before, that there's no difference between a nazir who's tohor that became tamei versus someone who took his nizirut bitum'ah, except that the one who took his nizirut bitum'ah starts on day 7. The one who took his nizirut bitara and then became tamei starts his nizirut again on day 8. So again, the Gemara says, my love, ha, the tiglachat, zev zeh shavin. Similar to what we saw in the previous Gemara, that the tiglachat, they are equal. Back there, Tosfot said, you know what, the tiglachat means zev zeh shavin? That they both shaved their head on the 7th day. Even though now, the Gemara is going to reject that. So he said there, they didn't worry about it. But now, once we got rid of Reish Lakish, now the Gemara is on this track, says, lo, hala malkot ze v'zeshavin. No, now we can answer that they're not equal for Tiglacha, but rather they're equal for Malkot, because we've rejected Reish Lakish. So now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's true that they're equal with regards to Malkot. Aval Tiglacha t'mai. Then what is the din with regards to Tiglacha? Is that a difference? Ze migaleach v'zeno migaleach. One does and one doesn't. Lidnaya, why don't you then include that in the Braita? There's a difference between them. Tana, Shvi Shalo, B'chol Mile. This is what the Mefarash mentioned back there, that this is all about the protocols on the seventh day versus eighth day. If you're already starting your Nizirut B'Tahara on the seventh day, that means you're not subject to all the rules of a Nazir Tameh. You don't shave your head, you don't bring a Korban, meaning that none of that process is relevant to you. That's why you start on the seventh day. Versus the Nazir Tahor that became Tameh, all of the processes are relevant to him. Therefore, he shaves his head, brings his korbanot on the eighth day. When we say seventh and eighth day, those are indicative of a difference between whether you're deemed to be a Nazir bitumah or you're not deemed to be a Nazir bitumah. Tashma, ein liyelo yamei tumato she'en olum lo min aminyan. Yamei chaluto minayin. So we know, and we've seen this before, and we're going to see this again in Masechet Nazir, that a Nazir who had a Nazirut Bitara became Tamei, then the Iplu Yamim Arishonim. The first days then fall away, and he does not count them, but also, while he is Tamei, those days do not count towards his Nazirut. So as long as he is Tamei, he cannot restart his count, he cannot count his Nazirut. So that Gemara says that's a given. That while you're Tamei, you cannot count Nazirut. The question is, with regards to a mitzora who gets sarat, if we're uncertain as to what his status is, he's called a mitzora musgar. He's locked up in order to wait to make a determination. Then there is a mitzora muchlat, which is a mitzora, once we've decided that he definitely has sarat, then he is locked away. He has all the trappings of mitzora. Later on in the Masechta, we'll see the fact that the Gemara draws parallels or equations between Mitzora and Nazir. But Mitzora over there, he has Yeshiva Badar Michutz LaMachaneh. He has to be alone outside of the Machaneh. He has to let his hair grow out. Al Sfavotam Yateh. He has to cover his face. And then he has to tell everybody, stay away from me, stay away from me. So all of those dinim that apply to him. So that's what's called a Mitzora Mukhlat. Or over here, the Gemara turns in, Yemei Chaluto. A Mitzora, during those days that he is secluded outside the Machaneh, can a Nazir, who is a Mitzora, count those days towards his Nizirut? On one hand, it's not Tumah, like Tumah Tameh, that would be Oker, his Nizirut. But on the other hand, a Mitzora has certain things that would make you think that he's similar to a Nazir Tameh. The reason that Yemei Chaluto versus any other Tumah is so relevant or could be connected to Nizirut is because of the focus on the hair, which is that a Mitzora grows his hair out, and then in the process of Tara, shaves his hair off. So that parallel between them makes the Gemara here at least suggest the possible connection between Yemei Chaluto and Nazir Tamei. As opposed to Tumat Asheretz, Tumat Nevela, Tumat Nida, all these other Tumot that don't have a Giluach associated with them, the Gemara has no Havamina that they are similar to Tumat Tameit, or maybe they should act like Tumat Tameit. Bedinhu, ma yemei tumato migaleach umei korban. Just like a Nazir, at the termination of his being tamei, he shaves his head and brings korbanot. Af yemei chaluto. So too a mitzora, at the termination of his being a mitzora, he is migaleach, and then he brings korbanot as well. He has a process where he's migaleach, does the birds, 7 days later again he's migaleach, and then brings his korbanot on the eighth day, and maybe korban. So Gemara says, maybe we should equate them because they have a similar process of tara, which involves giluach and korbanot. And just like a nazir bitumah does not count those toward his nizirut, af yemei chaluto so too a mitzora mukhlat should also not have his days count towards his nizirut. Lo, Gemara says no. Im amarta bimei tumato shekei mevatel behem et hakodmin. When it comes to a Nazir Tameh, not only does he not count his Nizirut while he's Tameh, it also ruins, retroactively, anything he counted until that point in time. it's not only severs him prospectively, it also retroactively undermines anything he's done. Lefikach in olim lo min haminyan. Therefore, they don't count. Doesn't count because he's terminated his nizirut. Tomar bimei chaluto, sheinu mivatela tekudmim. When it comes to mitzora muchlat, it will be a suspension of his nizirut, not a retroactive undermining of his nizirut. Lefikach olim lo min haminyan. Therefore, maybe they should count here because he does not undermine retroactively beginning of his nizirut. So Amart, Uma nazir bekever shisa'aro ra'ui ledig lachat, ein olim lo min haminyan. Wait a minute, what about our case here? A person who takes the net in nizirut while he is in the Beit HaKvarot. Now the advantage of using nazir bekever is that he doesn't have yamim mishunim shiplu, which ruined the correlation that we tried to establish before between a nazir that became tamei and yamei chaluto. Shisaro ra'oi litiglachat. His hair is ra'oi to be shaved off. Nevertheless, ein olim lo min haminyan. They don't count. Yamei chaluto. By yamei chaluto, she'ein ra'oi litiglachat. His hair is not ra'oi to be shaved off. Lo koshekein she'ein olim lo min haminyan. Certainly when you're in the Beit HaKvarot, it's ra'oi litiglachat. So my love, tiglachat tuma, sounds like that the guy who took his neder nizirut while he was in the Beit HaKvarot, that when the Baraita says that his hair is ra'oi litiglachat, what tiglachat are they talking about? Sounds like the tiglachat at the end of his 7 days of Tara that he has to shave his head off. So the Baraita says, lo, tiglachat Tara. No, it's talking about at the way end, that hair will be cut off as part of his nizirut. He's now restricted in cutting his hair right away. And he will cut his hair off at the end in Zirut HaTara. But that's not true by the Mitzora. Ochanami Mistavro. That makes sense because the Isak Datra Tiglachat Tuma, if you're talking about Tiglachat Tuma, Yimei Chaluto Milo Bayi Taglachat. If you're talking about the fact that he requires his head to be shaved after he becomes, at the end of his Tuma here, when he took the net in Zirut in the Beit HaKvarot, how could you say that that's not true by a Mitzora? Mitzvah has the same din. When he finishes his process of Tumah, he also has to do a Tiglachat. So how could you say, oh, the Nazir Tamei that took a Neder Nizirut, he has a Tiglachat, and the Mitzvah doesn't have a Tiglachat? That's just not true. The Mitzvah also does a Tiglachat. Chaluto milo bayi Tiglachat. Gemara says, no, those are not true. Your equation over here is incorrect. Tiglachat did Nizirut, Ktoni. We're talking about Tiglachat that is relevant to a Nizirut. By the case of Nazir Tamei, if we were to assume that a Nazir Tamei in the Beit HaKvarot has to get his head shaved at the end of those 7 days, that relates to his Neder Nizirut. And that Tiglachat is for his Nizirut. The Mitzora, you're right, at the end of his Tumah also gets a Tiglachat, but that Tiglachat is not relevant to Nizirut. So there is a difference between them. One of them at the end of their Tumah process gets a Tiglachat, but a Tiglachat that's related to the Nizirut itself. On the other hand, the Mitzora does get a Tiglachat at the end of his Tzarat, or his Tumah Tzarat, but that Tiglachat has nothing to do with Nizirut. It has to do with Mitzora. So what the Gemara now is concluding is, based on this Braita, the Braita explicitly says that someone who is a Nazir Bebeit HaKvarot, seemingly, now we could explain the Braita in one of two ways. At one point, the Gemara thought that the way to explain it is only as, I was talking about Tiglachat HaTara. Then the Gemara says, no, it could be talking about Tiglachat HaTumah as well, and it could be differentiated from Mitzora. By the Tiglachat Tumah of the Nazir Tameh, that Tiglachat specifically is related to his Nizirut. And then the Mitzora gets a Tiglachat, not related to his Nizirut, but related to his Tumat HaTzarat. Now that's interesting, or it has implications, which is, in the case of a Mitzora, everybody would agree that if you have less than 30 days left in your Zirut, that you have an issue now. Because when you do the Tiglachat, you need Gidul Seyar, you need 30 days of Gidul Seyar. So you need a minimum of 30 days after the Tiglachat HaTumah for Tzarat, in order to finish off your Zirut. If you don't have 30 days, then you can't. So therefore, in a Nazir that is Nazir Mu'etet, then it actually is going to ruin the Nizirut because you have to start the 30 days afterwards. Now whether they are just Gidul Seyar days or they really Nizirut days, that might make a difference. But just to note that even within the Mitzora, that Tiglachat does have an impact on the Nizirut, even though it's not a Tiglachat of Nizirut, which is that now he needs a 30-day window to do this. Now, Tosfot says over here, then therefore the Gemara is back to the possibility, or it's possible to explain this bright in one of two ways. That we're talking about either Tiglachat HaTahara or Tiglachat HaTumah, and therefore you don't have any proof from it. We leave it as unresolved now, because we don't know which way to explain the bright. Is it talking about Tiglachat HaTahara, Tiglachat HaTumah? They're both plausible explanations, and we have no answer. Gemara says, Tashma. It says, Vit Timei Rosh Nizro. So that he then is mitamei the hair of his nizirut. B'tahor shnitma katuv midaber. Sorry about a case of a nazir tahor that became tamei. That's why his hair is now tamei, because he had hair that was dedicated to the nizirut atara, and that became tamei. Shu ta'un avarat seyar vavat siporim. Because now he requires the removal of his hair and the bringing of the korbanot tuma. V'liftor et a nazir bekever. That comes to exclude a case of a nazir who took his nizirut when he was already tamei. She'ein ta'un avat seyar vavat siporim. He does not require the removal of his hair, and he does not require the bringing of the korbanot. Here it's explicit in this drasha of the pasuk that this only shaving of the head, like the korban, is only applicable to a nazir tahor that became tamei. It is not applicable to a nazir who started out bit tuma. Balot varim kal v'chomer. Isn't this a kal v'chomer? Uma tahor shenitma, a tahor that becomes tamei, ta'un avarat seyar v'avat siporim. He requires the removal of his hair and the bringing of the korbanot. Mi shaya tamei mitchila inudin shil ta'un avarat seyar v'avat siporim. This person who never did any nizirut at all and started out with tumah, he certainly should have to cut his hair and bring the korbanot to start out. Tamalomar v'timei rosh nizro. The case is a case where his nezer, his crown of hair, became tamei. Bimi shaya tor v'nitma katub midaber. The pasuk specifically talking about someone whose hair was already dedicated towards nizirut b'tara, and then became tamei, or gave me ruin. Sheita'un avarat seyar v'avat siporim, liftor et a nazir b'kever. It comes to then be puter, a nazir b'kever, shmamina. From here we clearly can conclude this individual has no requirements of a nazir tamei. As Tosfot points out as well, he's also patur from the asham. It's not just that he's patur from the tziporim and the cutting of his hair. He's also patur from all of the things of a nazir tamei, which includes the asham as well. So therefore, this nazir bekever is patur from all of these items. And the Gemara here acknowledges that had we not had the gzerat ha-katuv, or the limud out of the pasuk, we would have made such a kal v'chomer. And so logically, you're right. It makes some sort of sense that the nazir bekever should be chayav in havarat seyar, and maybe even in korban tuma, but the pasuk tells us that that is not the case, and therefore the answer to the query of Ravashi is that a nazir who started out tamei and took his neder zirut while he was tamei will not only, like our mission says, not require korbanot, but also not require havarat seyar, not require the shaving of his head in order to start it for the first time when he becomes tahor, because he's excluded from the parsha of nazir tamei. Based on the conclusion of the Gemara now, a person who took an nizirut while in Beit HaKvarot, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, which just means that the nizirut is chal immediately, and chal to the point that you'll get malkot. That means you'll get malkot for tumah, tiglachat, and yayin. Now, as far as the counting of your nizirut betara, that will be deferred until you become tahor, until you leave the Beit HaKvarot and you become tahor. At that instance, then you can start counting your nizirut betara. But until that point, you're still governed by the rules of a nizirut, because it's effective immediately, but there's a deferral of your nizirut betara, which is the accomplishment of your neder. And so that would be your status here. And that transition from becoming a nazir tamei to a nazir tahor requires only one thing, that you become tahor, that you go through the process of tahara of a para aduma. It requires none of the other trappings of a nazir tamei. Not shaving of your head, not bringing up korbanot. None of those are required for this nazir tamei. He just has to become tahor in order for the nether to be counted at that point. We're going to stop over here, 12 lines down on Yud Chet Amud Aleph.